titled the message this morning, The Widow of Zarephath. And it's just, in many ways, a simple message in an effort to honor and encourage our mothers, looking at this woman of faith from the Old Testament. We already read the story with the children, laid some of the groundwork for the thoughts of the morning. But I want to bring out just a couple of other small things before we go in to the message further. Did you notice where God sent Elijah to care for him and to protect him? If you have a King James Bible, I'm sorry, if you have a Thompson Chain Bible, almost directly across the column, in mine it's two lines down, verse 9 of chapter 17 says that he was supposed to go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. And if you go over to chapter 16, verse 31, do you know where Jezebel came from? Right there. He sent Elijah back to the very place where the wicked queen was who was trying to kill him, or where she was raised at least, and where her father lived, and where the worship of Baal had come from. What an unlikely place to hide a prophet of God. It just says something beautiful to me about God and his providence and the way that he works with people. It would be fascinating to look more at Elijah. This is a story full of lessons for us. But I want to look specifically at this widow, the widow of Zarephath. What do we know about this woman? Not a whole lot. We don't even have a name for her. But there was something special here that God chose her. And so I just have five thoughts, 5 points about this woman's life that we can learn from. And the first one is that God saw something extraordinary in this ordinary woman. Again, we don't know her name. We know she was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. She lived in a heathen land. We know that she was a widow. She lost her husband at some point. Don't know what all happened there. She had a son. She was living in a very difficult time. There was a famine. She must have faced a lot of pressure with trying to provide for herself and her son without a husband. But what we do know is that God saw her. God noticed her. God cared about her. And God said, I want to pour a special blessing into this woman's life and do something amazing with her, through her, for my prophet Elijah. Now, Jesus also spoke of this woman. If you turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he was talking about how a prophet is not accepted in his own country many times, he says in verse 25, but I tell you of a truth, Luke 4, 25, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, not to Israel, not to the cities of Israel, not to the Jewish women, not to the Jewish widows even, save unto Zarephath, a city in Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Jesus knew that story too. And so, mothers, today many of you are surrounded by people who love you. It's a special day. It's Mother's Day. And that should be special to you. I trust it means something to get cards and flowers and phone calls. But even more than that, it's important for you to know that you're special to God. Don't lose sight of that. In the difficulties of life, it's important to remember that God likes to use ordinary people for extraordinary things. Now, your life may seem quite ordinary, but don't dismiss that. God wants to use you, and he wants you to know that you are special to him. Think about her circumstances a little bit more. She was a single mom. It was difficult weather. Moms, you know what it's like when it's either hot and dry or rainy and wet for a long period of time, and children tend to get irritable, ready for a change. She was, I don't know what her son was like, but she could have been dealing with a burden there. She had the burden of providing for her family. She ran out of food, we know, or she was almost running out of food. And that didn't just happen overnight. That was a process. That must have been a burden that got heavier and heavier as the meal and the oil got lower and lower. I'm sure they were skimping and scraping for years now. And think about that morning that she must have woke up to go out and gather her two pieces of firewood to bake her last cake. Again, I tried to think through that and tried to use objects and try to just meditate on. I can't imagine what that must have felt like for a mother to come to that point in life. And then to have a man meet her and say, "Hey, I need some bread and some water. Can you go get some for me?" It's a mother's natural instinct, I believe, to want to meet the needs of her children as something that you care about as a mother. I could have shared a lot during the share time. I decided to wait, but as a young boy, I remember my own mother and being struck by the fact. I remember pitying her how, it was time for fresh peaches. And she would slice them up, and it seemed like we ate them faster than what she could slice them. And I felt bad. She would be the one that would pop the pieces in that had brown spots on them, right? Or like Jan shared about the nicest cuts of meat. It's how my mother was, and it's how I see mothers relating to their children. Mothers find joy in sacrificing for their children. Most mothers will sacrifice for their children, even though it may hurt. But they see it as an investment. But what I see happening here is beyond that. Now this mother's being asked to sacrifice what's going to go to her child and give it to a stranger. Can you do that, mothers? That must have been a difficult day and a difficult decision. Which leads me to the next point. The unseen hand of God reached into one of her most difficult days. The unseen hand of God reached into one of her most difficult days. And it came in the way of an interruption. That's how it was at first. She was going about a meal preparation. Difficult one, but it was a meal preparation. And somebody stopped her. Could be like somebody knocking on your door when you're in the middle of mixing up bread. And then it came as a request for her to give up something that was very, very dear to her and to her son. But in giving that up, she saw a miracle performed by Elijah's God. And what she didn't realize was that God's hand had been reaching into her life in the hours and days and weeks and even years before, leading up to this moment. God was preparing her to care for Elijah and to share with Elijah. Even though she didn't see it, even though she didn't know it, even though this was a very difficult day and she was not thinking about God, probably not, I don't know for sure. But God was preparing her. God was intensely involved in the timing of when she went out for her sticks. Just everything that happened when he sent Elijah. This was the hand of God. And I want to ask you this morning, mothers, can you see the hand of God at work in your life? Are you able to see him working through ordinary daily circumstances. I know that you have difficult days. I don't want to even try to compare them to this lady's day, because I know they feel that bad sometimes. But I plead with you to look for God's hand. Think about what God is doing, what opportunities he may be opening up for me in the interruptions that I face. And when you see his hand, thank him for it. Thank him for it. And I suppose we should even thank him when we don't see his hand, because it is there. We need to realize that. It comes back to our Sunday school lesson on faith. This was a woman of faith. It may have been a small faith. It grew out of, I'm not sure what all it grew out of, as a woman living in a heathen country. But God blessed her choice to obey. God blessed her choice of faith. Now, one of the things that Elijah told this woman in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." I'm just going to use that little phrase as the third point. Fear not. She said, "I don't have a husband." And Elijah said, "Don't fear." Maybe she didn't say it in those words. "I have one meal left in the house. Don't fear. I have a stranger begging for food. Don't fear." Later on, her son passed away. Elijah's word still was, "Fear not. Fear not." As a mother who cares for children in all different stages of life, you could have a lot to fear. We grew up the early years of our marriage, we were much closer to the road, and that was a cause for fear sometimes. As children get older, there's causes for fear. At least we think that there is. Should clarify that. But the word of the Lord is, fear not. Fear not. There is two other women in the Old Testament that also heard these same words. God said to Hagar. Hagar was another single mother, as it were, who had been sent away. And when she was out in the wilderness with her son, and life was looking extremely desperate, she heard a voice. Genesis 21:17, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" And then there's the story of Naomi and Ruth in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. Both had lost their husbands. They were also widows. And Ruth said to Naomi, "And now, my daughter," Ruth 3, verse 11, "fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." I'm sorry, I think that was Boaz speaking. Fear not is a message that comes to all of us. But this morning, thinking of mothers in particular. There could be many what ifs that you could ask. But what the truth was is that through her sacrifice and through her hospitality and through saying yes to God's voice and no to her fears, God met her needs and other people's needs. What a remarkable woman of faith. And so we flip to the New Testament and we find very similar words in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you," and we say, "fear not. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And so, mothers, Let's take these words from God to heart. Fear not. God cares about the sparrows. God loves your children more than you can love them and your spouses. And he says, fear not, but instead have faith and obey and let the rest of God. I don't want to suggest carelessness, but the Bible does say, don't fear. Don't fear. Fourthly, just another simple observation. God miraculously provided enough food for each day. Miraculously provided enough food for each day. It wasn't a lot of variety. It was a little more of the same, a little more meal and a little more oil. But it was sufficient for that day and for the next day and the next day. It met their needs. That was their needs. We get our wants and needs mixed up sometimes. God met their needs. Why didn't God put a 50-pound bag of flour in her pantry? I don't think that he did. It seems to me, after I was studying this and then I went back and read, I'm not sure, maybe I'm reading more into it than I should have, but it seems like there was just enough for the day. Now, God said it wasn't going to get all, but I don't think that I'm suspicious he didn't fill it full, but I guess I don't know that for sure. It'd be interesting to talk about that more this afternoon. But what we do know is that she found enough for every day, and it came from God. It was miraculously provided. Facing an empty barrel is probably something that many mothers can identify with. Feeling needy, empty, there's some fascinating parallels. You feel like you scrape the bottom of the barrel some days. Hardly enough hours in a day to get the work done. But I think there's several reasons why God gave just enough for one day. And the parallels are numerous. But God wants you as mothers, and all of us, I hope the rest of you are listening, God wants us to understand that we don't need answers to tomorrow's problems. We need answers for today. He wants to solve today's problems. Let tomorrow to him. Day by day, we sing that song sometimes. A fine strength for today. I think another reason is that God wants us to realize how much we need him. And when he gives us a portion for each day, we become dependent on him for that. And he wants that. He longs for that. He longs for you to go to him every day for wisdom and pray for strength and pray for patience and pray for the ability to train your children and just to get through another day. He wants you to come to him and ask for that. And it's his mercy. It's his mercy many times that brings us to a point where we feel empty, where we feel like we don't have it, because that's when we reach out to him. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He knows what we need. He knows what we can handle. And he promises to supply those needs. And that leads me to the next point, which is kind of an outgrowth again of our Sunday school lesson. But I worded it this way: God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. Let me repeat that. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. You see, I think there's a connection here. It takes not only believing in God, not only faith, but obedience. We can't just say this is God's work, so I can do it however I want, and I still want God's blessing. Or neither can we say, you know, this is my personal agenda, but I'm going to try to put God into it and so that we can have God's supply and God's blessing. No, it takes God's work done God's way in order to have a blessing. Again, we come back to Matthew 6, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." What if this woman had said, "Elijah, you're crazy. I never heard of such a thing. Go back to Israel. I don't know your God. I've never seen a miracle like this. We have our own gods. I'll deal with this problem in the way that I think is best. I'm not about to spend my last meal on you." Think about what would have happened if the woman would have taken that approach. Again, this is just a hypothetical if. But death would have been certain in a matter of days. And so, when we ignore either obedience, so God's way, or ignore truth, God's work, or God's truth, the result is difficulty and destruction. We have to do it God's way. When it comes to training children, when it comes to ordering our houses, when it comes to a relationship with God, it must be God's work done in God's way. And then He promises to supply what we need. Think about it, men. We cannot ignore God's standard of moral purity and expect God to bless us. It's obedience, understanding the truth, obeying the truth, and then receiving the reward of victory. Children and youth, we understand that you can't just disobey your parents and disrespect your parents and still end up with the blessing of God and the blessing of your parents. The Bible says honor your parents, and that's the first commandment with promise. There is a promise attached to that. There is a blessing. It's God's work done God's way. Husbands, you can't mistreat your wife or ignore your family and still assume that God will bless your home with peace and harmony. Mothers, you can't ignore God's calling of servanthood and meekness and quietness and submission to your husband and expect that you're going to have a wonderful home life and a godly marriage. It just doesn't work that way. It's God's work done God's way. And that's when God will supply your needs. I have a poem I want to read that I came across that I think speaks a lot of what I'm trying to share. It goes this way: "Is thy cruse of comfort failing? Rise and share it with another, and through all the years of famine, it shall serve thee and thy brother. Love divine will fill the storehouse, and thy handful still renew. Scanty fare for one will often make a royal feast for two, for the heart grows rich in giving. All its wealth is golden grain, seeds which mildew in the garner, scattered, fill with gold the plain. Is thy burden hard and heavy? Do thy steps drag wearily? Help to bear thy brother's burden. God will bear both it and thee." I think that one of the things that is admired most in mothers and maybe most often spoken of is being a servant, laying down their own preferences for their family, their own desires and wishes, and putting their children's and husband's needs ahead of their own. And what this poem says and what we find in scriptures is that God blesses that kind of attitude. He multiplies it. We see in this story, as she went forth in obedience and she cared for God's prophet, that God blessed the results and made enough for him and for her, and it says for her family. And so we praise God for mothers, and especially mothers who represent this type of faith. God bless you as mothers as you lay down your lives for your families day after day, and as you raise children for him, may God bless and multiply your efforts.